In today's gospel, the risen Lord breathes the Spirit into the apostles to continue his work of forgiveness. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they heard the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." In the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a little story told about this middle-aged couple who lived out on a small farm out in the Midwest a number of years ago now. And, you know, they pretty much were confined to that farm. They didn't go any place, didn't do much. There's a little town not far away, but they get into town once in a while. Never went to the big city, which was 50 miles away, but turned out that they had to go to the big city one day for some bank business. It only could be handled at the city. So they get into the city. They'd never been to the city before. They were amazed, you know, all the big buildings, the tall buildings, you know. They went by this huge department store that the woman was going to go back to once they finished their business. They come to the bank. The bank's got 10 stories in it. They couldn't believe this. They go into the bank. The man gets directions to go where he's got to go for his business. And so the wife and her 15-year-old son are standing there looking around. And across the lobby, they see this door. And the door has got on the top of it numbers. So they watch. And this old man hobbles across the lobby, goes into that door. The door closes. They watch, the numbers light up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They watch, the numbers come down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The door opens, and out comes this young, healthy, strapping young man. The woman says to her son, "You stay right here. I'm going to get you that thing." If an elevator transform us like that, because today we're talking about the Feast of Transformation, the Feast of the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit on the world is the Feast of the transforming power of God unleashed in the world. The Feast of Pentecost, the transforming power of God unleashed among us. So I think sometimes we sell short the significance of the Feast of Pentecost. We think, well, you know, it's a nice feast, but, you know, it's not as important as Christmas or Easter. But that would be wrong to think that way. They go together. Those three great feasts are all part of the saving plan of God. Christ comes into the world on Christmas so that he can die and rise for us at Easter, so that the Holy Spirit can be sent forth to build up in the world the kingdom of God. They go together. And today we celebrate that power of the Spirit working in the world, working among us. And we can see the power of that Spirit, what it looks like. If we just look at somebody like St. Peter, for example. There's Peter, poor Peter, you know. He's denied Christ three times. He's run away. And then, all of a sudden, today, Christ appears to them and he breathes the Spirit into them. And what happens? Peter goes from hiding behind locked doors out into the world, looking for the biggest crowds he can find to preach about Christ. See, Peter is transformed. The Spirit changes him. The Spirit renews him. The Spirit makes him different. The Spirit makes him new, gives him the power he needs. That's the work of the Spirit. And every single one of us has received that Holy Spirit. We received the Spirit first on the day of our baptism. Too young to remember that, most of us. But on that day, we were united to God by the Spirit within us. That Spirit was built up in the sacrament of confirmation. And the Spirit has been with us always, always working in us. Sometimes we don't experience that. We say, well, you know, I believe that, you know, Bishop, but I don't really experience the Spirit that much. I mean, to be honest. You know why that is? Because the Spirit is so natural to us that we can't imagine life without it. Suppose a fish could talk. And you said to a fish, what's water? Fish would say, what's water? I don't know what water is. But if the fish ever jumped out onto a rock and didn't have water, the fish would know what water was. Well, that's like us with the Spirit. We don't know what it's like to be without the Spirit. Spirit has been so much part of our life, we just don't recognize what it would be like to be without the Spirit of God. And I remember reading someplace some time ago something I thought was an interesting comparison. They said, take 10 gallons of gasoline and think about those 10 gallons of gasoline. There's two ways that 10 gallons could provide power. Take a match, somehow, get away from it, but put a match in the 10 gallons, and what happens? Big explosion, blows up, great power released all at once. But take that same 10 gallons, put it in your automobile, and you can drive for 250 miles. It's power that is unleashed gradually, sustained, everyday power. And that's the way it is with the Spirit. There are sometimes when the Spirit unleashes power in a big burst of power, like on that first Pentecost. There are other times when the Spirit works in a sustained, controlled burn, so to speak. And that's the way most of us experience the Spirit, in those sustained, controlled burns every day. But we still see power unleashed in big blasts of power, too. I mean, think, for example, about something like the Second Vatican Council. When the Second Vatican Council came along, even though it took 3 or 4 years, that blast of the power of the Spirit changed all kinds of things. Not the basic faith, but it made us a church for the modern world. Blast of power. Think of another example of something like that. Anytime you see a tremendous act of generosity, real self-sacrificial generosity, that's like an explosion of the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking of a true story that I was told some time ago about this family living, the farm story, unfortunately, but here it is, living on a farm, and they had two sons. The oldest son was about 15, named Dennis. Dennis had an accident. And he lost a lot of blood, so they rushed him to the little local hospital because he needed to receive blood. But unfortunately, his blood was a very rare type of blood, and the little hospital didn't have that blood. So desperately, they began searching around. What did they find out? That his little brother, Joey, had the same blood. So if they could give a transfusion to Dennis from Joey, they could save him. Now, Joey was like 5 years old. So his parents came to Joey and said, Joey, Dennis is very sick. He needs your blood. Will you give him your blood? Joey didn't understand any of this, of course, and he thought about it, and he said, well, Mommy, Daddy, does God want me to give Dennis my blood? And the mother said, well, I think God wants us to help anybody whenever we can. So he thought about it, and he said, okay, he can have my blood. So they brought him into the hospital, hooked him up, started taking blood out of him. He watched as a couple of units of blood pulled out. They take the blood, bring it into the next room to give it to Dennis, and of course the parents were there, and so there's little Joey lying in the bed looking up at his parents, and he says, after a few minutes, he says, okay, when do I die? When do I die? You see what he thought? By giving his blood, he was going to die. But he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it for his brother. See, that kind of generosity, that's the explosion of the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. We see it in our own world today in so many different ways. You know where we see it most? People who are dying for the faith all around the world. Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world today. People are dying every day for their faith. That's an explosion of the Spirit. New martyrs, explosion of the Spirit. But then, we also see that Spirit working with that controlled burn, that sustained power. Some years ago now, there was a song. I can't remember the title of it, but I remember being very moved by it at the time. It told a story of this little boy whose father worked in a factory. It was a small town, and everybody in the town worked in the factory. Factory town, so to speak. And it was tough, difficult work. And in the song, the little boy hears his father every night, the walls of the house paper thin. He hears his father get down on his knees every night before he goes to bed. And he hears his father praying, oh God, give me the grace for one more day down at the factory. Give me the grace for one more day down at the factory. And he gets it. He's there every day supporting his family. That's the work of the Spirit, that sustained burn that enables us to do the things we need to do to be faithful to God. So today that's what we celebrate, the working of the Spirit in the church, in the world, in our lives, maybe in a big burst, maybe in a sustained way that we're just so used to, we don't even sometimes understand it. I look back on some things in my own life, and I say to myself, how did I ever get through that? I don't know how I got through that. In retrospect, it was the Holy Spirit empowering me, giving me strength, giving me courage. So as we gather here, let me conclude with one final little thought. You know, there's a book that came out a few years ago entitled Children's Letters to God. Little children writing letters to God, really marvelous little things. And one little girl wrote this, Dear God, she probably was 6, 7 years old, Dear God, they told us in Sunday school about all the things you do every day. Who does those things when you're on vacation? Of course, that's the point, you see. God doesn't take a vacation. The Holy Spirit's always at work. The Holy Spirit's always here, always among us, always empowering us. So as we gather today, we rejoice in that gift, the gift of new life, the gift of God's life in us, so that through us, the Spirit can transform the world. In us and through us, the Spirit can transform the world. May God bless you.